Tragikomica, Masken für Venedig. Hallo, ich bin Chris, Podcaster und Reisefotograf. In der heutigen Episode geht es um die bekannten und typischen Pappmaché-Masken aus Venedig. Diese Episode passt thematisch wieder in zwei unserer Podcasts, und zwar in den Podcast Gewandschmiede und in den Podcast Erlebnis Venedig. Sie werden auch in beiden Podcasts zu hören sein. Der venezianische Karneval ist eine der berühmtesten und ältesten Festlichkeiten der Welt, die jedes Jahr im Februar oder März stattfindet. Eine der Hauptattraktionen des Karnevals sind die Masken, die die Menschen dort tragen, um ihre Identität zu verbergen oder um in eine andere Rolle zu schlüpfen. Die Masken haben eine lange und faszinierende Geschichte, die bis ins Mittelalter zurückreicht. Die Bedeutung der Maske für den Karneval liegt in ihrer Funktion als sozialer Gleichmacher. Beziehungsweise sie lag in der Funktion. Die Maske erlaubte es den Menschen, die starren Klassenunterschiede zu überwinden, die die venezianische Gesellschaft prägten. Unter der Maske konnte jeder so tun, als wäre er jemand anderes, egal ob adliger, Bürger oder Armer. Die Masken schufen auch eine Atmosphäre der Freiheit und des Vergnügens, in der die Menschen ihre Hemmungen ablegten und sich dem Spaß hingeben konnten. Die Masken hatten aber auch eine politische Bedeutung für den venezianischen Karneval. Sie boten den Menschen die Möglichkeit, ihre Meinung über Herrscher und Regierung zu äußern, ohne Angst vor Repressalien haben zu müssen. Sie waren ein Ventil für den Unmut und den Spott der Bevölkerung, die oft unter der Korruption und der Tyrannei der Mächtigen litt. Sie waren auch eben so eine Art Symbol des Widerstands und der Kritik an der bestehenden Ordnung. Auch heute sind die Masken noch ein wichtiger Bestandteil in der Tradition und Kultur Venedigs. Sie sind kleine Kunstwerke, die von Handwerkern hergestellt werden, die von ihr Handwerk von Generation zu Generation weitergeben. Sie sind Ausdruck der Kreativität und Fantasie der Menschen und schließlich ein Zeichen ihrer Identität und des Stolzes. Und schließlich sind sie ein Zeichen der Identität und des Volkes der Venezianer, die ihre Geschichte und ihre Werte bewahren wollen. Immer wieder ein aktuelles Thema. In diesem Zuge haben wir die Werkstatt Tragikomica besucht. Ich brauchte nämlich dringend noch eine passende Maske für mein Kostüm, und zwar der Capitano. Der Capitano ist eine Karikatur eines Soldaten. Er ist ein Maulheld, der mit seinen Taten prahlt, aber letztendlich nicht abgeliefert hat oder abliefert. Ich habe da eine neue Interpretation gemacht als diesjähriges Kostüm. Und ich habe euch ja schon verschiedentlich über Social Media und Podcasts erzählt. Und zwar einen englischen Bobby, der dann diese Maske des Capitano trägt. Die Idee dahinter war im Prinzip die, da eine Neuinterpretation, eine Neuinterpretation dieser alten Figur zu machen, eine Portierung in die Moderne. Und da die Idee jetzt erst relativ kurzfristig vor dem Karneval entstand, hat mir natürlich noch die passende Maske gefehlt. Und ich habe mehrere gekauft bei verschiedenen Maskenherstellern, verschiedene ausprobiert, in weiß, in schwarz, verschiedene Variationen. Und bei Tobia, von Drago Comica, bin ich dann fündig geworden, habe ich dann auch eine Maske gekauft. Wir haben dann miteinander geredet, beziehungsweise ich habe mit seinem Vater Guerrero geredet, aber da der nicht so gut Englisch kann und mein Italienisch sich auf Spanisch beschränkt, haben wir dann ausgemacht, dass wir ein Interview über die venezianischen Masken machen, aber mit seinem Sohn Tobia, der sein ganzes Handwerk eben von seinem Vater gelernt hat.
My name is Tobia Dall'Osto. I'm part of the Tragicomica family and team. Tragicomica, yes, is one of the very last mask-making workshops still in operation in Venice, if not the oldest. We're one of the very last to actually make traditional Venetian papier-mâché masks from the beginning, from scratch to the real end. We don't work only with masks, because we have the mask workshops, but we also have an atelier for historical and carnival costumes. We do workshops, activities, seminars on the history of carnival and of masks. But of course, masks is the most important, is our symbol, let's say. Tragicomica was founded because many people think of the masks as a very ancient tradition in Venice, and it actually is, it's true. But it's something that has been retaken somewhat more recently, because even when I say we're one of the oldest, it doesn't mean that we are centuries old, but it's just from the 70s, 80s of the last centuries. Because carnival in Venice, it's a big thing since the 13th century. So yeah, it's very ancient. But when Napoleon came to the city in 1797, he completely abolished, he forbidden the use of masks. He abolished the celebration of carnival. And for 200 years, there was no carnival, no masks in Venice until the 70s, 80s of the last century.
How was it to recover the knowledge of making masks? Do you know?
So, I'm the younger generation, let's say, whereas Tragicomica has been founded by my father, Gualtiero Dall'Osto. And he was actually part of the movement who tried to recover Carnival in those decades. Another very, very important figure was Maurizio Scaparro, who was a scenographer, a director, an artistic director that he worked with the Biennale to go back to the sources, let's say, and reenact the carnival at the beginning of the 80s. And there was, so my father would be the perfect person to ask this, but there was a contingency of events that made Carnival possible to recover. One of that was a young group of young, not even mask makers, because at that time they were not mask makers, they were people who attended the Academy of Fine Arts, or there were people who had a knowledge of some manual works, for example, the gold leaf or the working of wood or iron, actors, acrobats. So people who could have some manual skills or that had an artistic education that got together and somehow went back to some historical sources. Another important figure was the historiographer Danilo Reato, who is one of the first who went more to the historiographical part of the ancient carnival. And this young group of people who started making masks again, looking a bit on the, let's say, recipes people in the 18th century used to do masks. They tried, and also it was a trial and error process, you see.
Okay, it was an experimental process.
It was. I would say it was.
They didn't got their knowledge from books, or did they? Or
from historical sources, let's say. So it was not really books. It was to go to some sources, ancient sources, in which maybe they mentioned a bit how they built masks in the 18th century, and try to do something similar, try to improve it, because the way we do paper mache masks nowadays, it's a bit more, it's a bit different than how it was in the 18th century. It's a bit clearer. It's more divided into clear steps, whereas back then it was not, it was up to the moment. So some people used just paper. Some, it was a mixture of fabrics, plaster, paper. It was not a clear process as it is nowadays. So of course it has been reinterpreted and put up to date to nowadays needs and requests.
There are a lot of different masks. At the moment we are in your workshop where you build your the masks, mm-hmm. and there are various types of different masks. Are there some source forms? Because here we have modern. Are there masks which are built in origin?
There are for sure some historical shapes,
yes.
And for those we can look at paintings. For example, Pietro Longhi is a good source. He was a painter that depicted the everyday life of Venetians in the 18th century. And examples of these are the Bauta or Larva mask, the Moretta mask, the Doctor of the Plague, in a way. Mm-hmm. And the citizen's mask, which is the neutral full face shape. And for this, we have sources and paintings and texts we can take inspiration from. And then there are many other shapes, which is just from imagination, from thinking, from more modern characters, from requests also, because it's not that we're always closed in our workshop. It's very nice, the interaction, you know, with people and with customers as well. When they have a specific request, we do a new model, and so there it is, another new model, or the new model is an inspiration, the request is an inspiration for a new model to create.
So you do your own designs?
Yeah, of course.
Is there an education to learn how to do the masks now, standardized? So you have your assistant here who is painting masks.
Yes.
So how it comes, or is there in Germany for each work you do, you have to go to school and learn there how to do the craft?
Yeah. There is no school for masks, but the good thing is that a mask is a combination of sculpture and painting. We can say that maybe later, the process of how it's made roughly. But first of all, it's a sculpture, and then it's a manual process of the papier-mâché, and then the painting part. So it's if a person has some grounding, at least a base knowledge of these two crafts, is a good starting point to be a mask maker. So people who attended the artistic high school or the Academy of Fine Arts usually have a good preparation for that. However, it's also something that you learn by doing a lot. So that was done more in the past, maybe, but if you enter a workshop, you can, if you have the willingness and you know, the enthusiasm to learn, it's something you can learn.
Okay, how is the workflow of making a mask? You said already. How does it work? You make a sculpture. How?
We could say three main steps. When you have to do a new model from scratch that doesn't exist yet, you have to do a clay sculpture. You have to study first a bit the anatomical proportions, do a sketch, a design of the model you want to do, and then create a 3D positive sculpture in clay. When you're done, you pour liquid plaster on top of the sculpture, and when it solidifies, you take off the sculpture from inside it and you get stuck with this negative mold. And once it's very dry, you can start working different layers of paper inside the mold. We also use some specific papers like woolen paper made of woolen fibers, gauze, different type of glues. And when it dries, you take this paper layers out of the mold and you get the skeleton, let's say. It's not a mask still, because we have to cut the edges, cut the eyes, the nostrils. And not even there it's ready for decoration, because we have to level up some imperfection with stucco, cover it with Bologna plaster powder and rabbit glue. And only at that time you have a rough white mask that you can start decorating on. And there also you can really free your imagination of different decorations, gold leaf, decoupage, collage, and very different techniques. Historical masks are quite simple, if you want to be more historically faithful. So black, whites, browns prevail as colors with very simple decorations. Whereas in more contemporary, more modern models, decorations and colors got very, very popular.
What do you think? What's important for a papmaché mask, and why should a carnivalist use one made of papmaché and not one which is available in each shop around Venice made of plastic? What's the unique thing of a papmaché mask?
Well, with a paper mache mask, you not only have a mask, you have a unique creation, because as it is being made by hand, every piece is unique and you have kind of a work of art. It's unique, it's personable, it can be personified, it can be customized. There is a study also on the anatomical features, so it's probably more comfortable. It's made of paper mache, so it's better to stay in contact with your skin rather than plastic. And there is much more variety than something done, you know, by a machine.
The last days we had a lot of rain. And if you are breathing into the mask, it's become clumsy a bit, and it's there's a danger of deformation. Do you have a tip how to make a mask more enduring?
Well, I think that this helps because it makes it even softer and more comfortable. So I think it's a good sign if you have to wear it for some time. Paper mache masks are endurable. It's not like leather, of course, but there is this episode that I really like. There has been a comedy of art teacher from the US that has bought many masks from us 20 years ago, all in paper mache, because he appreciates also how paper mache you can personalize color, whereas with leather is much more difficult. And after 20 years, he came back to Venice. So he's a teacher. So he's not only he uses his mask, all his students use their masks. So they're really, really used every year with different people, with students and pupils. And after 20 years, he came with only one mask that has been a bit damaged and that we repaired. and all the rest were fine. So that was really, was kind of a pride for us that after so many years, they were all fine. Apart from one that has been a bit slightly damaged. So that was good. Was a good news for us. Even because majority of people, they are not theater teachers. So majority of people, they use them maybe once, twice a year, and then they have it as a decoration. So they're even much more well kept.
Do I have to make some maintenance or nothing? Mm-hmm. Maybe if there's a part where I'm losing color paint.
But usually not. Maybe you have to dust it every now and then. Then it depends on how it's refinished by us. Because if it has been refinished with varnish and there is a scratch, you might add some varnish. But not all of them are finished with varnish. Some of them are finished with wax. Some of them with the lacquer. So you should get in contact with whom made it and ask for the advice specific for the mask you have.
Or bring it to restore it, like
bring it back. Yes.
The guy before. When I go to the ferry each morning, not to the ferry, to the Vaporetto, I pass a shop where you rent, where I can rent costumes. Could you explain more about the costumes, the history, and how you are making them and which kind of costumes?
Yes. So, costumes, the main reason I would say is that because we conceive mask not only as the mask for your face, but as a mask for the whole body. So here we are in the workshop for face masks, but we also have the body mask. And that's where the costume come in the play, and because masks are so connected to carnival and costumes are as well, so it's all part of the same world, let's say. From the 80s onwards, the Carnival of Venice has been tightly associated with 18th century style of costumes. Because the 18th century was the period in which carnival was the most excessive and famous and luxurious in the history of the most serene Republic of Venice. And so, yeah, it's a long time. We also have the Atelier of Costumes. Many costumes have been made by my two grandmothers and my aunts as well, so it's a more family broad work by my mother as well. And we have them for rent, mostly for the carnival period, but not only, and also for sale, I mean, if people want. So they are all very historically faithful, many of them. And we also used a lot of very prestigious fabrics, like the Rubelli ones. That is this maison that does our research on historical fabrics. So it's a very good finishing of the disguise in total. But it's interesting that this is a modern thing, because for us, when we do carnival here, we dress up like the 18th century style. But back then, those were their normal everyday clothes, right? So for them to dress up in carnival, their disguise was to wear the Bauta mask with the zendale, which was like a cape that covered your head, your neck, your shoulders, and the tricorn hat. So that was interesting because carnival was not to dress up as someone or something, but to cover your identity. You couldn't tell if behind that there was a woman, a man, there was a noble, there was a poor, a rich, a priest. So everyone became equal during the carnival time. Also, the government of Venice did a step back, let the population rule themselves for the period of carnival. And it was really a way to be in incognito and express themselves without any social constraints.
Was this period not even longer than today?
It was much longer. Back then, it was 6 months scattered throughout the year. So that's why masks became so iconic of the Venetian Carnival. A mask is something, it's an anthropological instrument that you can find in so many cultures, in so many places in the world. But one of the reasons why it got so connected to Venice is that it was such a long time in the year that Venetians and foreigners had wore, or sometimes even had to wear, a mask, that we could say that half of the time Venetians were masked in the 18th century. So it was a part of the everyday clothing, let's say.
Carnival is much older than 18th century. Do you know the origins of Carnival, maybe?
Yes, it's not something clear and defined. It didn't arrive one day out of the blue. It's a long transforming process that we could start detecting at the very early medieval times, when there was the period between the fall of the Roman Empire and the early medieval times, where masks were used more for propitiatory apothropaic rites, very pagan. Indeed, the peoples use very kind of evil-like masks connected to the changing of nature, connected to the underworld, and in order to hope for a better harvest. And there is no coincidence that Carnival still nowadays is at this period between the end of the winter and beginning of spring. And also consider that the Venetians, their calendar didn't start on the 1st of January as we are, as we do now, but on the 1st of March. So 1st of March, beginning of spring, Carnival, they all coincided with a new beginning. Indeed, Carnival was a way to bury the past and start again. And it was a new starting.
Half a year. During half a year.
Now, of course, the most important days were the day that are still nowadays with the Mardi Gras. But it was much longer. It started at, after Christmas. And it went well beyond the beginning of spring. Yeah.
Okay, back to costumes and masks you produce, you do. What's first, the mask or the costume?
It's like the hen and the egg. For us, I would say the mask, because the mask is the symbol of all this carnival world, let's say. It also has a much stronger anthropological meaning, I think, this way of hiding in order to reveal. Because many people associate the mask as a negative thing. To wear a mask, it means to be negative, to be fake, to hide something. But in Venice, it's exactly the opposite. To wear a mask is actually to tell the truth. A bit like Oscar Wilde said, you know, give me a mask and I will tell you the truth. Was really in line with the Venetian concept of wearing a mask.
Okay, we are sitting here in your workshop where you are making your masks and painting it. And you also have workshops for people who are interesting, who make his own mask, to paint his own mask. Can you tell us something about that? How will I come into the pleasure to do my own mask?
Yeah, it's something we've been doing since many years. It's a nice way to open up the workshop and spread also our knowledge on masks, and this tradition, which is so Venetian. So we also organize workshops, mostly our decoration workshops, in which people, family, couples, singles can come, choose from a wide variety of white models, rough models, and then start their own decoration with many colors, acrylics, puffy paint, and also they can add jewels, embroidery, stones, feathers, and create their specific, tailored, unique mask. They become, yeah, kind of unique in the world in that sense. And it's something that people like a lot, and we also like to share this with people that usually don't have nothing to do with this. It's also a way of, many people say it's kind of cathartic, relaxing. It's a way of experiencing a new activity, a new approach to this instrument. I like to call the mask. We also do, so this was decoration workshop. We also do mask making workshop, let's say, but in that case you need to be much more time committed. As you probably understood, the process is very long and people should stay here around 5 days. So it might be a bit too much, but the decoration usually in 1 hour or 2 hours, it's enough.
Okay. So now we talked a lot about how to do a mask and how to make it. What are the proposals to use the mask? Some people maybe put it on the wall. Who is buying your masks, and how do they use it? For what are they using it for? For which purpose?
Yes, this is not defined. There's not a defined answer because the purposes are very wide. We work with, of course, with tourists that want to have a mask for carnival or for have it as a decoration, as a design in their houses. With Venetians, there are some Venetians that are really into carnival, and that every year they start well in advance to think about the next carnival costume, and they really ask for a new, completely new model. But we also work with theaters, with scenographers, with cinema. I mean, long ago, my father did some masks for Eyes Wide Shut, for example, but also with performers, when the people need to wear for a long time. We don't do the clay sculpture, as we said, but we use the real face as a sculpture, and we pour the liquid plaster directly on the face so that you have the perfect mask for your specific features. And then also for the music, for the music world, like if you want to see one of our masks from Lady Gaga in the video Poker Face, the one she throws in the water, it comes from Tragicomica. So it is very wide, from locals to tourists to stars. Huge, huge potential.
So, jetzt hoffe ich, dass dir das Interview gefallen hat. Das war der Karneval, das war vom Karneval 2024. Wir sind jedes Jahr beim Karneval und fotografieren dort, bieten einen Fotoworkshop, eine Fotoreise an, machen aber dann auch noch eine Woche lang beim Karneval mit. Das hat dann auch was mit achtsamer Fotografie zu tun, weil man einfach sich besser in die Masken hineinversetzen kann, wenn man selber eine ist. Wir machen dann aber immer Podcasts von den Regionen oder von den Gegenden, von den Locations, wo wir sind, um eben den Teilnehmern zu zeigen, wie toll es dort ist, um ein Verständnis für diese Location, für die Menschen, die da leben, zu wecken. Wenn ihr also Lust habt, dann seid gerne mit dabei beim nächsten Mal. Kommt vorbei, sprecht uns an. Sowohl beim Karneval wie auch online bei uns auf unserer Seite oder auf unserer Seite Erlebnis Venedig. Ansonsten vielen Dank, dass du mit dabei warst. Die Internetseite von Tragicomica verlinken wir selbstverständlich wieder in den Shownotes. Bis bald, dein Chris.